The title this morning is Begin with the Tithe. As we continue our sermon series, The Generosity Ladder, our purpose at Church Acadiana, our mission is to reach lost people for Christ. And we want to reach lost people, or you might want to call them irreligious people, unchurched people. We want to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we want to bring them into the church. And then we want to equip them, especially the parents, grandparents, equip them to be discipling their kids, discipling the next generation in the home. We want to see fathers or granddads sometimes sitting down on a regular basis with your kids, with the Bible, reading the Bible with them, teaching them the Bible, teaching them to follow Christ. That's what we want to see parents doing. And we see some great things happening in our church over the next 10 years, God willing, but we could see our church really grow in attendance. We could see our church growing to several hundred, maybe even 500 people in the next 10 years, families worshiping together on Sunday mornings. I would love to see our men's Bible study grow to hundreds of men gathering every month. On the second Tuesday night of the month, we get together to talk about how to be better spiritual leaders for our families. I'd love to see that really grow. I'd love to see our home groups. We've got 3 home groups right now. I'd love to see that become dozens of home groups scattered throughout Lafayette Parish and even beyond, of people getting together, multiple generations gathering in the same living room for prayer, Bible study, and fellowship. I'd love to see our Bible drill ministry, where we have kids who are dedicated to learning or memorizing scripture, learning how to navigate their Bibles with competence. I'd love to see that grow to hundreds of students, where we have the largest Bible drill in the state of Louisiana. And I think God can do all that stuff. I know He can. And so the next step for our church is to build our first church building, and to move out of this theater and move into a building. So we bought property last year, about 5 acres in Youngsville. It's closer to 4.5 acres in Youngsville. And right around that property, they have a bunch of neighborhoods that are being built right now, hundreds of new homes that are growing up and that need a new church, a Bible-centered, Christ-centered church. And that's what we want to be. That's what we're going to be as Church Acadiana. And so we've been working with the architect, and he's put together plans for a building. It's under 7,000 square feet, and it's going to seat under 300. It's a multi-purpose auditorium, you can move the chairs out, and it'll serve as a fellowship hall. But move the chairs back in, serves as a worship auditorium, multi-purpose facility. And really, we're calling this an equipping center, because it's not just a building, it's not just a structure. The purpose of it is, it's going to be a place where we're going to equip people to reach their friends for Christ. And we're going to be equipping parents and grandparents to reach the next generation for Christ. And so we worked with the architect. We've been working with a contractor. And the price of the building comes down to about $1 million. And so we're going to be taking out a loan. We're going to be working with volunteer construction workers. And when all is said and done, our church is left with the challenge of raising $350,000 cash. $350,000 cash. We're well on our way because we've been saving up for a while now. We paid cash for the property, and after we paid for that, we've been saving up. And so we've got about $100,000 cash already saved up for the building. And so our goal, though, is to reach $350,000. And so for the next 2 years, as a church, we are embarking on this build-to-equip journey. We're calling it build-to-equip because we're building that equipping center. So for the next 2 years, starting in November, that's what we're going to ask for you to start giving your regular donations, your monthly or weekly donations to build-to-equip in November. So from November 22 through November 24, 2024, we're going to be in this build-to-equip journey, this capital campaign, where we're raising money. Now, to reach that $350,000 challenge, that goal that we have, that's going to take some major generosity on our part. That's going to take us digging deep. That's going to take us sacrificing. That's going to take us giving more than is comfortable, more than we normally give. But we're the ones that are going to be raising this money. We're going to be giving more than our regular tithes and offerings. And so, for some of you, we're going to be asking you, we're going to be needing you to give double your tithe for the next 24 months, triple your tithe. If some of you, if you've got $10,000 in the bank, If you've got $20,000 in the bank that you can give to the church or that God will lead you to give, that's what we're going to need. We're going to need those types of gifts. And I've told you about Lydia and I, for the next 24 months, we're going to be doubling our tithe. So our regular tithe is going to go to the church general fund as normal, but then we're going to be doubling that. And so that second half of that tithe is going to be going to straight to build to equip for the next 24 months. And then we have money set aside for a future home that we wanted to buy. So we have $25,000 in savings, and we're going to take that and give that to build to equip. So that's the kind of generosity that it's going to take. We're going to need other people to match that level of giving, that level of sacrifice. To do that, by the way, we're going to have to stop giving or putting away so much into retirement. We're going to have to make some adjustments for the next 2 years to be able to accomplish that goal. So to get us to that level of generosity, we're doing this sermon series, The Generosity Ladder. We're talking about money for 6 weeks. This is the third week in this series. But we're talking about specifically, how do we go from being a stingy person to a generous person? Somebody who just has open hands and uses their extra, uses their resources to help others and to help God advance his kingdom. And somebody who just says, God, everything I have is yours. How do you want me to use it to build your kingdom? Generous people, how do you go from being stingy to generous? And so the idea of the generosity ladder, you can look at the slide up here that shows you the different sermons in the series, is a ladder is something that helps you get to a higher level. And so the generosity ladder is a sermon series. It's a tool to help us get to a higher level of giving. So at the bottom is stingy. I don't think any of you are stingy, but the idea is, what are the steps that a person has to take to go from being stingy, closed-fisted, to generous? And in week one, you have to see God as a giver. See God, that God is a giver. He is the most generous being in the universe, and that we're called to be like him. So we're called to be givers as well. We're not called to be hoarders. We're not called to be selfish. We're called to be givers just as God gave. And then in week two, last week, we learned that we need to see ourselves as stewards. Remember that word steward just means a manager. The idea of stewardship is that we own nothing. Nothing that I have is really mine. Everything belongs to God. It's all his. I'm just God's money manager. And my purpose is to use all of my money for God's kingdom and his purposes. How can I use my stuff, my property, my possessions, my finances to further God's kingdom? Today, we're going to talk about tithing. Start with the tithe. And we're going to look at Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Malachi verses 3, 8 through 12. This is the essential text on tithing in the Bible. Malachi 3, 10 through 12. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Right before what? Right before Matthew. So let's read verses 8 through 12. This is God speaking. So Malachi is obviously the prophet. He's quoting God. He's the preacher. And he's quoting God. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. How do we rob you, you ask? By not making the payments of the tenth and the contributions. You are suffering under a curse. Yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. Bring the full tenth into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of armies. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not ruin the produce of your land, and your vine and your field will not fail to produce fruit, says the Lord of armies. Then all the nations will consider you fortunate, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of armies. The book of Malachi was written after the Babylonian exile. Now, to give you a little bit of Bible history, the Jews, and this is in Old Testament times, the Jews were rebellious against God. They continued to rebel, and God would send them prophet after prophet to warn them, repent, or God is going to judge you. God is going to discipline you. God is going to punish you. Repent, repent. And yet decade after decade, really century after century, after King David, they continue to sin and to worship false gods and to intermarry with other nations. And So eventually, God punished them by sending the major superpower of the world at that time, which was Babylon, the Babylonian Empire. They invaded Israel, destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed Solomon's temple, the Lord's temple built by Solomon, destroyed the temple, and they took thousands and thousands of Jews and they carried them away to live in the land of Babylon. And that time of them living in Babylon, it lasted 70 years. So that's called the Babylonian exile. So if you read the story of Esther in the Bible or of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Nehemiah and Ezra after the exile, we'll get to that in a moment. But all those are stories that are happening during this Babylonian exile. After those 70 years, the conquerors, who were now the Persians, they decided to start letting the Jews go back slowly, little by little, to the land of Israel. And so in 516 BC, the Jews went back to Israel and they rebuilt the temple. In 458 BC, Ezra the priest, you can find his story in the book of Ezra, Ezra the priest led them to a period of revival, of worshiping God the right way, obeying God in all of Scripture, and practicing the temple rites correctly. And in 14 years later, after Ezra, in 444 BC, Nehemiah led the people to build the wall around Jerusalem, rebuild the city wall, which was essential for the city's independence and security. But then after Nehemiah left and went back to Persia, because he served, remember what his job was back in Persia? Cupbearer. He was the king's cupbearer, the king of Persia. So he went back to his job, and after Nehemiah, who was the governor and who was kind of making sure that the Jews continued to follow God correctly, after he left, things began to fall apart again. The Jews began to sin again. They began to backslide. Tithes and offerings were ignored. The Sabbath was continually broken. They were intermarrying with foreigners. The priests were corrupt. And so God sent the prophet Malachi, who's the last Old Testament prophet, to the Jews to tell them, wake up, to lead them into a time of revival. And as I said, one of the sins of the Jews at this time was that they had stopped tithing. They had stopped giving to the temple and to the ministry. And so things were in disrepair. And so Malachi addressed this, God speaking through him. So three truths about the tithe need to be addressed as we look at this passage. Number one, if we are not tithing, we are robbing God. If we are not tithing, we are robbing God. Being robbed is one of the worst feelings. How many of you have ever been robbed, had something stolen from you? That's a horrible feeling, isn't it? I mean, you just feel so violated. When I was a kid, we lived on the north side of town, north side of Lafayette. And so things went missing all the time. And I remember when I was, I guess, in about fourth grade, it was either for my birthday or for Christmas, but I got this brand new BMX bike. And it was this cool green color. And I remember it had pegs on the wheels so that you can do tricks and stuff. And I must have had that bike weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks before it was stolen. I mean, it just went quick. That's how things went back then. I remember when I was in high school, I played basketball for Como. And for my birthday or for Christmas, I can't remember, my parents bought me a new Sony Discman. Do you remember a Discman? It's after the Walkman. The Walkman was this little personal tape player with the headphones that you put a tape in. Well, the Discman, they came out with it, you put a CD in it. And so I had this Discman, and on an away game, all of my teammates, we were on a bus, and we traveled to Lake Charles for several games during the year, and I don't remember if we were playing Sulphur or Barb or Lagrange. But we got there, we left our stuff, a lot of our stuff on the bus, went in and played, came back, my Discman was gone. And I felt like one of my teammates had stolen it. And there was nothing I could do about it. It was just, I felt so violated. But the Bible says that if we're not tithing, we're actually robbing God. that we're violating him, we're ripping him off, we're stealing from God. Now, many Christians do not tithe simply because they are uninformed. They haven't been educated. They haven't been taught what the Bible says about tithing. They haven't been discipled. But the Bible says when you fail to tithe, you're actually robbing God of what belongs to him. Now, if you fear the Lord, then you don't want to upset him. You don't want to offend him. You don't want to be on God's bad side. But even more than that, if you love the Lord, then you have a deep burning desire to please him. And it kills you to think that God could be displeased with any area of your life. You really want to please him. Well, God says to the prophet Malachi that when you fail to tithe, you're robbing him. You are greatly displeasing the Lord. If we look at verse 10 again, Malachi 3:10, it says, bring the full tenth, or bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Now, I want you to notice that is a command. Now, when you break one of God's commands, that's called sin. That's called disobedience. So what is a tithe? He says, bring the full tenth, or the full tithe. A tithe is taking the first 10% of your gross income and bringing it to the church where you worship, giving it to the Lord, bringing the first 10% of your gross income. That means before they take out taxes, your gross income, and giving that to the Lord. Tithing is not dependent upon income. So the Bible doesn't say once you reach a certain level of income, then you start tithing. Once you reach the middle class or once you reach the upper class, then you start tithing. Tithing is for the rich, for the middle class, and it's for the poor. It's not about your income level. It's a percentage. It's the 10%. Now, that word tithe, it literally means one-tenth. And so, if you say, I tithe 5%, that's wrong. You can't tithe 5%. That's like an oxymoron. That's like the word jumbo shrimp. Doesn't make sense. You have to tithe a full 10%. That's what the very word tithe means. My parents, whenever they were in their 20s, they got saved, and they tithed. Now, I'm not going to tell you how old they are, but now they're retired, and they still tithe. So it doesn't matter how much money you make, how old you are, you tithe. My children, they don't have a regular income, but whenever they make money from doing chores and stuff, they tithe from what they earn. Lydia and I, we tithe whenever we were poor college students. We tithe whenever we were poor seminary students. We tithe whenever we first started our church when we had 3 babies in diapers. And we tithe today. So it's not about your income. It's the percentage of your income. Tithing should be the first check that you write to God. So if you look at Proverbs on the screen, Proverbs 3 verses 9 through 10. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce, or the first fruits, of your entire harvest. Then your barns will be completely filled and your vats will overflow with new wine. So honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce. So in other words, tithing should be the first check that you write. And what that means, it doesn't have to literally be the first check. The idea is, you don't wait until the end of the month and then give God what's left over. You put God first with your finances. So you pay God before you pay the bank for your house. You pay God before you pay the bank for your car. You pay God before you go do whatever, go to the movies. You put God first in your finances. And then if you have anything left over at the end of the month, then maybe you can go out to eat. Then maybe you can go to the movies. But you put God first. Now, where do you give the tithe? The Bible says, bring the full tenth into the storehouse. Now, in the Old Testament, the storehouse was the temple. We're no longer in the temple era. Now, the temple is the local church, the place where you worship. So you bring the tithe to the place where you worship. There are two kinds of donations. There is tithes and there are offerings. So the tithe is the first 10% of your gross income. That is to be given to the church where you worship. Offerings are free will offerings. That's anything over the 10%. Now, when it comes to after you've given the 10% to your church, then anything beyond that, you can give wherever you feel led to give. You can give even more to the church, or you can give to any other charity or a nonprofit organization or anywhere you where you feel like you're using your money to further God's kingdom. But the first 10% goes to the local church, and then offerings after that can go wherever you feel God is leading you. Now, I called this sermon, Start with the Tithe, or Begin with the Tithe. Why did I call it that? Well, the goal is to become generous. The goal is not to be a tither. The goal is to become generous. But generosity doesn't begin until after you've tithed. Let me explain. There's three types of givers, according to the Bible. Three types of givers. This may sound kind of harsh, but I'm going with the Bible's language here. The first type of giver are the thieves. The thieves. These are anyone who's giving less than 10%. Now, some of you may be giving, but you're not giving the full tenth. Now, what does the Bible say if you're not tithing? What did it say in Malachi 3:8? You're robbing God. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me by not bringing the tithe. So the first type of giver is a thief. Now, you may be giving. You may be giving 5%, 7%, 2%, 8%. But if you're not tithing, the Bible says you're a thief. The second type of giver is the obedient. The obedient. These are folks that are giving the full tithe, the full 10% of their gross income. Now, if you're tithing, that's wonderful, but that's not the goal. That's the starting line. The tithing is the training wheels of generosity. It's the beginning place. So it's good that you're tithing, but the goal is to become generous. And that's the third type of giver is the generous person, the generous. The generous person is somebody who's giving beyond the 10%. We'll talk more about that next week, but that's the top of the generosity ladder. But to get to that place, to get to where you're actually generous, you have to start with the tithe. Because if you're not tithing, the Bible says you're not generous. You're not even obedient. You're a thief. You're robbing God. So some people, some Christians, call themselves generous when in fact, not only are they not generous, but they're a thief. So you can't be a thief and generous at the same time. That's why you have to start with the tithe. Now, some of you, in this sermon series, the goal is to help you grow in Christ and to grow as a steward and to grow in generosity. So some of you, if all you do is you make a commitment to begin tithing, and that's how this sermon series helps you to grow, then this will have been a great victory for you and a great victory for our church to see you grow in that area. So that would be wonderful. Ed Young Jr., Pastor Ed Young from Fort Worth, Dallas area, he tells a story of taking his daughter to a high school football game. And his daughter asked him for some money so she could go and buy some Skittles. So she went to the concession stand and she bought them. And when she came back, Ed said, "Can I have some of your Skittles?" And so his daughter said, "No, they're mine." So Ed goes on to say that at that moment, three things entered his mind. The first thing was he bought the Skittles, so in reality, they belong to him. The second thing was that if he wanted to, he could buy her more Skittles than she could ever imagine. And the third thing is that if he really wanted to, he was big and strong enough to take her Skittles away from her and not give her any. It's like that with God in a way that God gives each one of us Skittles. He gives us some Skittles, all of us. He may have given you more Skittles than me. He may have given me more Skittles than you, but all of us, he's given us Skittles, and God just asked for some of our Skittles. He asked for 10% of our income. And a lot of us say, "No, God, it's all mine." And we have to remember that, first of all, it's not ours. Everything we have, if you remember last Sunday, everything we have, all of our Skittles, they actually belong to God. Also, if God wanted to, he could give you more money than you could possibly imagine. In other words, God is not someone that you want to get on his bad side. You want to be in his favor. Because God can give you more than you can possibly imagine. So you want to be in the center, in the sweet spot of his blessing. And the third thing is that if God wanted to, he's big and strong enough and has every right to take everything that he's given you and leave you with nothing. And he can. So don't rob God. That's number one. Here's number two. The second thought from about tithing from this passage in Malachi is that those who are not tithing are not being fully blessed by God. Those who are not tithing are not being fully blessed by God. So as a parent, I want my children to be fully blessed. I want them to experience the best life possible. And so as I'm teaching my kids about how to handle their finances, I'm teaching them from a very, very young age, don't forget to tithe. Tithe first, because I want God's best for you. I want his full blessing in your life. Don't forget to tithe. That's what Malachi is saying to us through this passage. In verse 9, he says, you are suffering under a curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. So it's interesting that they were already, at the time that Malachi was speaking to them, the whole nation was already suffering under a curse financially. But they didn't even realize why, it looks like. They didn't understand why. So Malachi is coming to them and he's telling them, listen, you know why things are so terrible? You know why you're suffering? It's because you've been disobeying God with the tithe. I wonder how many of us in this room, you're suffering financially. You're struggling financially. And you need a messenger. You need God to speak to you to say, hey, you know why you're struggling? It's because you've been robbing God. And God wants to bless you. But you got to get it under his authority. When you don't tithe, just as whenever you disobey God in any area of your life, he will discipline you. Now, what might it look like, a financial curse? What might that look like in somebody's life? Well, going to bed every night worried about money, arguing with your spouse about money a lot. In fact, they say the number one cause of divorce in America is money problems and money fights. That's somebody who's living under a curse. Living in fear of losing everything, not being able to get a promotion, not being able to get a job, getting laid off, struggling in school. On the flip side, notice God's promise for those who do tithe in verses 10 through 12. This is when it starts to get exciting. Verses 10 through 12, it says, see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not ruin the produce of your land, and your vine and your field will not fail to produce fruit, says the Lord of armies. Then all the nations will consider you fortunate, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of armies. We see a threefold blessing here. Number one, a blessing without measure. In other words, God will enormously increase your finances. That sounds like the prosperity gospel in a way. But this is what the Bible says here. A blessing without measure. Now, I've seen in people's lives over the years that I've seen whenever they start tithing, God blesses tangibly and intangibly. He blesses people financially, but I've also seen people's lives get blessed in other ways when they start tithing, non-financial ways as well. A second part of the blessing is, I will rebuke the devourer for you. In other words, God will protect your finances. He'll put a special hedge of protection. I did a sermon a couple of months back about how to survive Bidenflation. Do you remember that sermon, how to survive Bidenflation? We're experiencing a time of major economic stress and turmoil right now. How do we survive this as Christians? Well, God promises to provide for his people, but his people have to put themselves under his authority so that they can be in a place of blessing. So one of the things, you got to start tithing. God promises, I will take care of you, I will protect you, and you can find some insulation from Bidenflation. And then the third part of this blessing is all the nations will consider you fortunate. All the nations will consider you fortunate. In other words, God will use your prosperity, your financial prosperity, to draw others to Christ. Other people will look at you and say, wow, look at how that person's they're just blessed. You know, a few years ago, a friend of mine asked me for advice, financial advice. And he and his wife were making, I don't know how many times, how much more money than me. I mean, they were making so much. They were making over $200,000 a year. They had a combined income. And that's a lot more than me, to understate it. Way more than me. And yet they were asking me for financial advice because they were under so much financial stress. Have you ever known anybody like that? Somebody that was making a lot of money, had a huge income, and yet they were under a lot of financial stress? Some of you are like, I can't imagine that. Others of you are like, yeah, I know what that's like. I've met people like that. I've been there maybe. Well, these people were asking me for my advice because they could see we were doing fine. We had financial peace. We had financial security. Now, they didn't know our income, but I knew we were making way less money than them, that we were doing fine financially. Why? We were under God's blessing because we were living in obedience. God is looking to bless someone so that he can use you as a witness. And when you start tithing, all you're doing is saying, God, bless me. I'd like to be one of your blessed children. So tithing to me has been a no-brainer. Some of you guys, this will resonate with you because you like things put very simply. So here's tithing put simply. Number one, it's a command. If you're a Christian, you obey. I remember my dad has told me, you know, as a Christian, when he became a Christian, as a young Christian, he read in the Bible, he's supposed to tithe. He said, okay, I'm going to start tithing. It's not hard. God says to do it, you do it. So number one, it's a command. Number two, if you obey, God will bless your finances. And then number three, if you disobey, God will curse your finances. Now that's tithing in the most simple way, isn't it? So in other words, with tithing, you have a choice. You can live on 90% of your finances with God's blessing, or you can live on 100% of your finances under God's curse. You choose. Now, sometimes people say, I can't afford to tithe. And if you are not tithing, this is probably where you are. In your mind, you're thinking, how am I going to afford to tithe? Well, there are three responses to that. I can't afford to tithe. Number one, you can't afford to tithe because your finances are cursed. You can't afford to tithe because you haven't been tithing. You start tithing, you say, God, I'm going to put you first and trust you. I'm going to put you first and trust you to care for me. And you watch. You'll be able to afford to tithe and more. So that's the first thing. You can't afford to tithe because your finances are cursed. Number two, a second response to I can't afford to tithe is you can't afford to tithe because your budget needs to be readjusted. Now, some people are thinking, I don't want to tithe because if I start tithing, I'm going to have to really cut back in other areas. You mean following Jesus will require you to make adjustments? Yes. Yes. That's what Christianity is about. It's about aligning our lives to Christ, not to our will. It's about dying to your will, taking up your cross, and following him, putting him first. So yeah, if you have to readjust your finances, just like you should have to readjust every area of your life to get in alignment with Christ, that's called Christianity. Welcome to the club. It's a joyful way to live once you start doing it. But yes, it does require some sacrifice and it requires some faith, but you've got to readjust. You might have to put less into your 401k. You might have to cancel cable TV. Some of you might die. We'll have to pray for you if you had to cancel cable TV. We might have to put hands on you. You might have to stop eating out as much. But when you say, I can't afford to tithe, you're essentially saying, I can't afford to be obedient. I can't afford to be obedient. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you can always afford to be obedient because God will help you. God will provide for you. A third response to I can't afford to tithe is, you've heard me say this before, is you can't afford not to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. If you continue to disobey God, not only will you miss out on God's blessings, but you will fall under a curse. And you can't afford that, especially right now with what's going on with our economy. According to one study, 21% of consistent church members, those are people like you that come regularly to church, 21% don't give anything to the church. They don't bring anything to God's temple. 21%. 71% of consistent church members give less than 2%. So some of you who don't tithe, don't worry. There's a lot of you. You know, you're in good company. I should say in plentiful company. But that's really a shame. Imagine all the blessings that are being missed out on by God's people. Imagine all the blessings that the church in America is missing out on because 71% of consistent church attenders are giving less than a tithe. It's no wonder America's church is where it is right now. You know, there's a man in our church. I'm not going to say his name. He's here this Sunday, though. There's a man in our church. He told me that when he got married, he was a Christian, but he wasn't a tither. He'd never really learned about tithing, but his wife was a tither. And she said, we're going to tithe. We need to tithe. And like any good husband, he was obedient. He said, yes, ma'am. So he said he started tithing when he got married. He said in 3 months, his income went up by 33%. 3 months after he started tithing. Now, I can tell you story after story, and there are a lot of people in this church that could stand up and tell you testimony after testimony of how God blesses. Okay, so here's number three. Number three, the third thought from this tithing passage in Malachi is that this is the only place in all of Scripture where God says, test me in a positive way. It's the only place in all of Scripture where God says, test me in a positive way. Throughout the Bible, it says, do not put God to the test. Jesus even said it to the devil whenever the devil was tempting him in the wilderness. Jesus said, it is also written, do not test the Lord your God. But here in Malachi 3, God says something different. He says, when it comes to tithing, I want you to test me. I want you to put me to the test. In other words, if you have doubts about tithing, and if you have doubts about God's ability to take care of you and to provide for you and to bless you, then I want you to put me to the test. It says in verse 10, Malachi 3:10, bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of armies. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. It's like God saying, I dare you, but in a positive way. In 2017, I wrote this down. I wanted to remember it. In 2017, there was a couple in our church that said that they had been faithful in just about every way in their lives. In other words, they were really trying to follow Jesus. They were really passionate, but they weren't tithing. They said, we were doing everything. We were doing everything that the Lord told us to do in our personal lives, everything. You know, we were just trying to follow Christ with all of our hearts, but we weren't tithing. It's like tithing, and this is the way it is for a lot of Christians. Tithing is the hardest thing. Your money is the last thing to be able to surrender to God. It's the hardest thing to surrender to God. And so they said, we've been faithful in every area, but we weren't tithing. And so finally they were under so much conviction, they realized, you know, we've got to start tithing. We've got to put that part of our lives under God's authority as well. And they said, within a week or two, the husband got an offer for a promotion at work with better hours, better tasks, and better pay within just a few weeks. A pastor friend of mine from Alexandria, he told me this story. He said that one of his members, his church members, his name was Jansen, who also happened to be the pastor's fishing buddy, he refused to tithe. He called tithing the stupid tithe. Every time the preacher would talk about tithing, he'd say, are you talking about the stupid tithe again? He called it the stupid tithe. But then the pastor preached a sermon on tithing and said, test God for 3 months. You call it the tithing challenge. We've done that at our church before. The tithing challenge. Test God for 3 months, and if God hasn't blessed you, then stop. And so Jansen agreed to take the tithing challenge so he could finally get the pastor and his wife off his back. So the first week that he started tithing, the trolling motor on his boat went out. The second week, he had a blowout on his truck. Each week, one thing after another was going wrong. So when it got to week 12, he came to the pastor and he said, "I'm so glad this is my last week to tithe." He said, "I'm finally get this over with." And the pastor said, "Well, every 3 months, there are actually 13 weeks, not just 12 weeks." So he said, "Technically, you should tithe one more week." So he did. The next week, he came up to the pastor and he said, "I've got to tell you about the wonderful tithe." The wonderful tithe, not the stupid tithe. He was a nurse at Brady Hospital in Alexandria. And at that week's staff meeting, they were told that the hospital was giving a 10% raise to the entire nursing staff. So he said he stood up in the middle of that staff meeting and he said, "The reason we're all getting a raise today is because I started tithing. And God said he would pour out a blessing so great I wouldn't be able to contain it. So it's overflowing to you." And so a little later he asked the pastor, he said, "Do you think it would be okay if I gave God more than a tithe?" Pastor said, "Well, sure." And so they started giving more of their income to God gradually, little by little. Eventually, the pastor moved away. 10 years later, they were reunited. They were talking to each other. Jansen said that giving 20% was so good that they started giving 25%. And then 25% was so good, they started giving 30%. They retired now. They're giving 50% of their income to the Lord. He said, "Our net worth keeps increasing every year, and we can't explain it other than that God has been faithful." So many stories like that. You know, I've never met anyone who regretted tithing. I've never met anyone who started tithing consistently over time and said, "I regret doing that." Because it's not an expense when you obey the Lord. When you obey the Lord, it always comes back to bless you. It's always worth it. God has always provided for me and for my family, and he will with you as well. And so today, I want to challenge you to start tithing. For many of you, that's the next step on the generosity ladder. And for some of you, listen, tithing is a big step, especially if you're not giving anything to the Lord. If you're only giving 2%, 3%, tithing is a big step to jump up to 10%. So maybe try this. Maybe say, "My goal is to gradually get to 10% in the next 6 months." So gradually increase your giving for the first couple of months, and the next couple of months, increase it a little more, and then a little more after a few months until you get to the 10% level. But I guarantee the money's there. God will provide for you and more. He will bless you just as he said. When it comes to tithing, as uncomfortable as a sermon like this is to sit under and to preach, because your money is so personal to you, there's the two things that are most personal to you are really your money and your sex life. So anytime the pastor preaches about something so personal, it can be very uncomfortable. But when it comes down to it, tithing really is about lordship. Who is the Lord of your life? It's been said, if Jesus is not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. So will you put Jesus, will you make Jesus the Lord of your finances? I can't see God blessing our church to the fullest if we're not being obedient. Let's be obedient. Let's start with obedience. Once we're tithing, then we can talk about being generous and giving over and above the tithe freely, however God leads us. And that's an awesome place to live. Why don't you bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to invite Carter up here. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song and just devote ourselves to the Lord in this song. Father, we pray that you'd help us, Lord, move in obedience. Help us, Lord, to move in obedience. Forgive us, Lord, for where we've failed. Forgive us for where we've been unfaithful, Lord. And God, we are willing, in Jesus' name, we are willing, if you give us the ability, we are willing to obey you.